In the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, at the two dots, about three lines down in the wide lines, so the Gemara has a sugya that we've touched on previously already. The Gemara begins and it carries us over to Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The sugya begins, Itmar Rav Amar Shliach Nasa Eid. I appoint a Shliach for Kiddushin, he can serve as an aid Kiddush as well. Reb Shila Amri, Ein Shliach Nasa Eid. The Shliach cannot serve as an aid. My time in the Reb Shila. Why can he not serve as an aide? That's the burden of proof. Why shouldn't he be able to serve as an aide? If you're going to say it's because you didn't appoint him as an aide. What if a person gets married and he did not appoint the two witnesses as his aidim? The kiddushin's no good? So it sounds like in this Gemara you don't have to appoint witnesses as Eidei Kiddushin, which as we know we do at every wedding. We do appoint Eidei Kiddushin. We'll have to get back to this, okay? Get back to this in a few minutes. But the Gemara of Pablo implies here you do not have to appoint specific Eidei Kiddushin. You don't have to appoint them as an aide. Even if you didn't tell him you're an aide, he can still serve as an aide Kiddushin. So why can a Shliach not be an aide? It cannot be because you didn't appoint him as an aide. You don't have to be appointed as an aide. Al Rav Amar Shliach Nasa Eid, Alumika Ma'alimna Lemilsei. Of course he can be an aide. He's more power than that. He's also the Shliach, but he can also be an aide. The Rav Shila Amri ain't Shliach Nasa aide. He cannot be an aide. Kaven da marmar shlucho shaladam kemoisei havalei kegufei. Since we say shlucho shaladam kemoisei, so that's like the person himself. It's considered to be like the Mishaleach. The Mishaleach is a pasul yedus, cannot serve as an aid on his own kiddush, and therefore the shliach can also not serve as an aid on the kiddush that he is a shliach for. Meizvei, so the Gemara asks a question on the one who holds that he can be an aid. Meizvei amal shloisha tzu v'kachuli ha'isha. You say to three people, go out and marry me a woman. I guess this guy needs a whole basin to go get married. It's a complicated matzah. Echad shliach v'shnayim aidim. Divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai say one can be a shliach and one can be an aidim. You have a you know, you have a whole wedding over here. Beisilo, Imrim, Kulam Shluchan Eid. No, they're all Shluchan Ve'ein Shliach Nasa Eid. So, it sounds like according to nobody can the Shliach themselves be the Eid. According to Beis Shammai, we split up the roles. One is a Shliach, two are Eidim. According to Beisilo, none of them can be Eidim. But certainly, it sounds like according to nobody can the Shliach himself be an Eid. Akan lo pliga b'shloisha. And certainly, only argue with three. But if you'd only appoint two people, you don't have two witnesses. The shliach cannot serve as an aid. Who the Amar? So what about the one who holds shliach not aid? How's he going to deal with this? By Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, they both seem to disagree with him. That's a real problem. So who the Amar? Ki haitana. He has a different version of this machlekes Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. The son of Reb Nosson Oimer, Beis Shammai Oimim shliach ve'eid echad. That if you appoint two people, one is a shliach and one is an aid. You appoint three people, so one is a shliach, and then you have two eidim. But according to Beis Shammai, the shliach himself will be the aid. One of he'll be an aid, and you appoint another aid. So you have the shliach; he's one aid and another aid. But the shliach can be an aid. Beis Hillel Oimim, you need a shliach and two witnesses. The shliach himself cannot serve as the aid. So now, at least Rav, who says shliach not aid, is according to Beis Shammai. He's not against Beis Shammai. He's still a problem with Beis Hillel, but he's not against Beis Shammai. So for Rav, Beis Shammai, how do you really solve the problem? You put yourself in the same camp as Beis Shammai. We know that you're not going to pass in like Beis Shammai. Rav wouldn't do that to himself. So Eibach, now we'll switch it. For Rav Acha, we'll switch it. Beis Hillel say Shliach Eid Echad. Beis Shammai say Shliach Ushnei Eidim. And now Rav is according to Beis Hillel, and everything works out well. For Rav Acha, Bereid the Rav Masni Ipcha. He had it the opposite. Rav Amar Ein Shliach Nasa Eid, Beir Rav Shila Amu Shliach Nasa Eid. So he, instead of switching the Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, he switched the Machlekes Rav and Rav Shila, Rav and Rav Shila. The Beir Rav Shila. Either way, we want to say Shliach Nasa Eid, and we want to say that that's the opinion of Beis Hillel, and that's how the Gemara concludes, Ve'hilchos Shliach Nasa Eid. Okay, so whether it was Rav, whether it was the Beir Rav Shila, in the end of the day, we paskin Shliach Nasa Eid, and that seems to be the conclusion of Beis Hillel as well. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Amu Ushnaim, Tzu V'Kitchuli Yaseisha. Man says to, you know, Shliach, go out and marry a woman. Hein, hein, Shluchav, hein, hein, Eidav. The Shliach themselves can also serve as the aid. This is according to how we pass, can Shliach not say. V'chein B'Gerishin. The same thing is true by Gerishin. If, presumably, you send the Shliach out to go divorce your wife, the Shliach can also be an aid that the Gerishin was executed. V'chein B'Dinei Mominis. So do by Dinei Mominis. Look at Rashi. I sent money back to Amalva, I'm the borrower, and I sent money back to the lender, back to the bank. And I want Edim that I paid back. I'm not going to pay back without any proof that I paid back. So the Shliach himself, even though he's the one who's delivering the money for me, can serve as an aid that I paid back. Okay, in all three of these scenarios, Kiddushin, Geirushin, Mamonis, Shliach Nasa Aid. Vitzricha, why do you need to tell me all three of these cases? The Iyashmina b'Kiddushin Mishum de l'Misr Ka'asi. Kiddushin, you're ossering her into the whole world. You don't stand to benefit anything. And no one else to benefit anything. So, okay, nothing to gain over here. Shliach Nasa Aid. Aval Geirushin Necho Shema Ein of Nasimba. Maybe the guy is going to divorce the woman, and he's going to testify that she's divorced, even though she's really not, in order so that he'll be able to marry her. Such a, you know, concoction. Maybe he orchestrated the situation. V'yashmin and Gerishin. Okay, so but Gerishin, fine. We can overcome. We're not afraid. You're lying that she's divorced, even though she's really not, in order so you should marry her. V'yashmin and Gerishin, mishum de'isla lo beit treila chazia. Either way, how's the other aid? Why would the other aid lie? You always need two aidim. He's not going to marry her. One of you is going to marry her. The both of you are not going to marry her. So one guy, at least over here, is telling the truth. Maybe they're going to split the money between them, and they, a guy gives us money to go pay back the loan. Instead of paying it back, we pocket the money and split it between the two of us. So maybe the shliach cannot be an aid. So okay, in the end, that's the chiddush. Shliach nas aid in all three of these scenarios. So the Gemara asks, my kasavar, what do you hold? I kasavar. Now again, this is tricky because we were talking about paying back the bank. Then the Gemara at this point, one second, is going to switch now to the, if the loiva gave us money, we would say we paid it back, and the bank says, sorry, we never got it. They go back to the borrower, and they say, you got to still pay up. He says, what are you talking about? I sent it with my shliach. They testify that they paid you back. They say, sorry, we never got the money. We never got the money. So now he goes to the shliach, and he says, what happened to my money? So if they have the right to argue that they paid back, and they don't need witnesses, or that they, you know, they don't need witnesses that either they gave it back to the loiva. They don't need witnesses to what they did with the money. So ikasar malva chaver be'edim sarcha par be'edim hani noigim be'edus ninu. Now they're noigim be'edus. See what happens is these guys who got the money, the shluchim, the messengers, are stuck in a pickle, right? If they say they paid back the bank, that's what they want to say. The bank is arguing we never got it, so they're saying okay, but we're saying we paid you back. So are they really independent parties over here? So the Gemara is arguing if they have to pay back, let's say they would take the money and give it back to the borrower and say, you know what, we don't want to do your shlichus, here's your money back. So if they need witnesses when they give it back to the borrower, hamavas chaver be'edim, tzarcha par be'edim, when they give us the, you know, he gave us the money to the armored car to bring to the bank to pay back, if we would need edim to return it to sender, so then now we're stuck in a pickle because either way we're going to be liable for this money. So we are now have an advantage to say we paid the bank back. We're not gay be'edus, because if we would go back to the sender, we would be liable. Unless we have edim that we gave it back. So now we're stuck. So now the Gemara is saying, either way, why can you believe the edim if in order to return to sender they would need edim themselves? So they're not gay be'edus, because they're stuck with this money. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Why are all three cases listed? Like Masari, the Mamo, and Kiddushin, and Kiddushin?
Each one has an additional Kiddush.
But I thought for Kiddushin, there's no Kiddush.
It is a Kiddush. The Kiddush is that you're not going to, we're going to, it's a big Kiddush. The Kiddush is that even though you're the Baal Davar, you're the one who's making the Kiddushin, you can testify about it. You realize what's going on? It's a one-man play over here. You, I'm now in the Masada Kiddushin, and then he says, and I'm the aid Kiddushin, you know, and then he's the Masada Kiddushin. He could be the Masada Kiddushin too. I mean, you could have every guy take off one hat, put on another hat, one hat, put on another hat. It's crazy. That's a big Kiddush.
If you said it by Gershon, then that teaches you Kiddushin.
He said Gershon is an even bigger Kiddush, because I might be doing all this and then turn around and marry him.
So if we say teach Gershon, what's the Kiddush by Kiddushin?
Ah, just say it by Gerushin. Okay, but the original discussion was by Kiddushin. So once the Gemara has this discussion by Kiddushin, the Gemara says, and the same is true by Gerushin. Once he said it's true by Kiddushin, why did he say Gerushin? Because Gerushin, you could even turn around and marry the same woman afterwards. Wow. Maybe you're lying then. Kiddushin, you have no reason to lie. Gerushin is just odd. You're wearing two different hats, too many hats. But Gerushin, you might actually have something to gain. A mammon, you certainly have something to gain. So now the Gemara is saying, though, how can you really even do this? Because if you'd have to pay back to give it, meaning if the aid is, you're not gay, but aid do so. How can he say he's paying back the bank Otherwise, we're going to accuse him of pocketing the money, and he's going to have to bring proof that he didn't pocket the money. If I never have to bring proof that I didn't pocket the money, because I could just say, returned it to sender, and I'm fine, I don't have to bring proof to that, so then fine, you're not negev eidus. You could just say, I returned it to sender, and I'm good. But if you have to bring proof that you returned to sender, now you're negev eidus when you say you paid back the bank, because if you didn't pay back the bank, we're going to come to you looking for the money. So the Gemara asks, how can this be good? How can shliach nas eid by mamonis, if you have to bring proof to what happened to the money, the eidim are liable for the money, so then they're nageh beidus, so they have what to gain. Whenever you have what to gain, you're no good as an eid. So ikah sarah mavel chaver beidim sarah chupar beidim, which really means they're liable for the money that they have. Hani nagin beidus ninhu, the amri loy par ane, if they're going to say, we didn't pay back the bank, amalahu par uni, give me my money back. Meaning we're going to come looking for the money. So of course they're going to say we paid the bank, otherwise they're going to be liable. They're not liable for the money. You give them the money to give to the bank, and you can't come to them with tainas later on. Where's the money? They could say we returned it to you, and they're fine. They don't have to make any proof of that. They don't need eidim of that. They could just say we returned it to you. You weren't, you forgot about it. It's your fault. Since they could say we returned it to you, we believe them when they say we gave it to the bank. But the Gemara says, Hashta, this was a later development. This didn't exist throughout the times of the Gemara. This is only initiated in the times of Rav Nachman, that a person who's a Kaifer Hakol means you come to me and you say, I owe you money. I come to you, I say, you owe me money. I say, I never saw you before. Nice to meet you. Shalom Aleichem. I certainly don't owe you anything. So in our day, we just brush the guy aside and, he's a loony, a lunatic. But if he would actually bring you to Beis Din, you'd have to take a Shavuos Heses, a Shavuos Midrabanan, that you don't owe him money. A Kaifer Hako has to take a Shavuos that he doesn't owe money. Even though it's not fair. I have nothing to do with you. I never met you before. Why should I have to take a Shavuos that I don't owe you money? Midrabanan, so Midrabanan, you don't have to take a Shavuos. Midrabanan, you have to take such a Shavuos. So now, Hashu Tikar Rabanan Shavuos Heses, these witnesses are now stuck. If they paid the bank, they're okay. If they said we returned it to sender, we gave it back to the borrower, we didn't repay back the bank, they're going to have to take a Shavuos Heses. They don't need witnesses, but they're going to have to take a Shavuos Heses. Nobody wants to do that. So, Hashu, Tikkur Rabbanu Shavuos Heses, Shtaboy Hani Eidim Diyahivna, U'mishtab Malve, I'm sorry. So now they're stuck. They're no Gebe Eduso. So what do they have to do? So Mishtabi Hani Eidim Diyahivna Lei, they're going to have to tell, either take a Shavuos that they gave it back to the sender, Mishtaboy Malve, the Lo Shakalei. And the bank is going to have to take a Shavuos that they didn't get it, then the borrower is going to have to pay back again. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is, everyone's going to have to take a Shavuos that they did what they said they did, and the witnesses are no good. In this case, the Shliach is not Nasei, because he's Nagei Beidusa. He's going to get stuck. Since he's Nagei Beidusa, it's no good. So Taisus asks over here, in this big, long Taisus, for Hashu, the Tikkun Rabbanon, over here, Gimel Mebeis, why can't he just take a Shavuos? And then say, I gave it to the bank. Once he takes the Shavuos that I gave it back to you, then it should be kosher liedus. So mitivim toimar, mikol mokum, lamal yu eidim ne'monim l'achash enishbu, lomar paronim shrei shuv einam negim be'edus. Once they take a Shavuos that they paid back, now they're not negim be'edus, let them testify now. So the answer is no. In order to be a good witness, you have to be believed without any Shavuos. If you need a Shavuos to back you up, you're not a witness. If you have to take a Shavuos before you say you witness, ain mamish beidusa. Okay, then Taisus has another question about the Niga. But basically, what emerges from this Gemara, Rabbi say, is when it comes to Kiddushin, we say Shliach Nase Eid. It was a discussion, Machlekes in the Gemara, we say Shliach Nase Eid. When it comes to Gerushin, we say Shliach Nase Eid. If you're a Shliach to bring the Gerushin, you can also be an aid. By Mamanis, no. It was the halacha, you could have been an aide, but now that the shliach is responsible for the money, he can't just say, sorry, I gave it back to you without any consequences, he'll have to take a Shavuos Heses, now he's Nagei Beidusoi, and he's involved in the testimony, and therefore he can't serve as an aide. He's Nagei. But what about when it comes to Kiddushin? Shliach Nase Eid. Yeah?
I was just wondering, isn't there a difference between when someone says, you owe me money, I say no, you don't, versus when someone says, you owe me money, like, yeah, I did owe you money, but I paid it.
Then for sure you have to take a Shavuos. Then you're agreeing to something, yeah. That's a whole different case. Even there, it's a kaifer hakol, you don't have to take a Shavuos midrabanan. The only time you have to take a Shavuos d'oraisa is if it's a ma'ida b'miksas. If I say, I owe you 50, I don't owe you 100.
Kishin, there isn't a practical.
Practically, no. But there is a difference in halakha. If you agree to the chiyuv, you're saying, I mean, either way, l'hoi dvar me'olam is the same as I paid you back in halakha. I'm basically saying I have nothing to do with you. Meaning we have no pending business. Okay, but Rabbi say it was a machlekes in the Gemara whether Shliach Naseid, and we paskin that Shliach Naseid. What does this whole discussion revolve around? Can the Shliach be an aid? Can the Shliach not be an aid? So if you remember when we first touched upon this Gemara, we quoted the Or Sameach, who had a fascinating explanation of this Gemara that it revolves around, that hinges upon the nature of Shlichus. That according to the one that holds, Ein Shliach Naseid, the reason why the Shliach cannot be an aid is because the Shliach becomes like the Mishaleach himself. He's given autonomy to make certain decisions, as we discussed at the time, how much Truma to give and other things. And therefore, he becomes like the Mishaleach himself, so he can't turn around and give testimony. He is the Baal Dovar. He is the one who's giving the Kiddushin. Even though it's not for him, he's taken on the power of attorney, and that endows him with the properties of the Mishaleach himself. And the one that holds Shliach Naseid, Shlichus is just power of attorney. You don't become like the Mishaleach himself. You don't have any autonomy. You don't have any decision-making power. And we will link that. We connected it to a Machlekes, or Sameach connects it to a Machlekes between the Rambam and the Tur. But a person who appoints a Shliach to divorce his wife, and then he goes crazy. He becomes a Shaita. So a Shaita cannot divorce his wife. So the Tur said, since he can't divorce his wife right now, even though he appointed him as a Shliach when he was well, the Shlichus is undermined by the fact that now he became a Shaita. And the Mishaleach, the Shliach, does not take on the properties of the Mishaleach. He doesn't become like the Mishaleach. He's still just an emissary, representative of the Mishaleach. If the Mishaleach will become a Shaita, the Shlichus is also undermined. He can't divorce his wife. That's like the one who holds Shliach Naseid, because he's not like the Mishaleach himself. So he's not the Baal Dovar. He's not the one who's giving Kiddushin. He can turn around and become an aid. By the same token, if the Mishaleach will become a Shaita, the Shlichus is undermined. The Shliach is not autonomous here, and no autonomy at all. He's just a representative of the Mishaleach. So he can be an aid, and if the husband will become a Shaita, the Shlichus is no good. And Rambam disagreed. The Rambam held, once you give him the Shlichus, he becomes, the Mishaleach becomes like the Megaresh, becomes like the husband who's divorcing his wife. And therefore, even if the Mishaleach will become a Shaita, it doesn't matter. The one who's Megaresh the wife right now is the Shliach, not the Baal who's sitting in the asylum. It's now the Mishaleach. And since the Mishaleach is a Bar Seichel, he's normal, he's healthy, he can divorce the wife, even though he's acting on behalf of the Mishaleach, because he takes on new properties like the Mishaleach himself. That works with the man, the Yama, who holds Ein Shliach Naseid, because the Shliach becomes like the Mekadesh, becomes like the Megarish. So if that's the case, he can't turn around later, become an aid. You can't be an aid at your own Kiddushin. You can't be an aid if you're the Shliach for Kiddushin. That was how the Or Sameach explained. This might help us understand the interesting subject of the Rif. I might say, look over here in the Sefer Kolboy. I gave it to you over here, Ois Aleph. It quotes many interesting things from the Rif. About a Shliach the Kabbalah. Like a chazar from a number of topics we touched upon. The Gemara said a shliach can be also an aid not only for Kiddushin but for Gerushin as well. I appoint the shliach to divorce my wife. There the shliach can serve as the aid that the Gerushin was delivered. What if the woman sends a shliach to accept the Gerushin? Can that shliach also be an aid on the fact that she accepted the Gerushin? You would say, why not? What's the difference? What's the difference between his shliach and her shliach? But the Rif is not sure. That's our Gemara. Shliach Nasei. But Rif Kos, if it's Sarachian, I'm Neumar Kain Gabi Shluchei Ha'isha Lekabo Gita V'Kidushel. Not sure if it works by Shliach LeKabbalah. What should be the difference, Rabbi Isaac? Yeah? Anybody remember we discussed the first Shia on the second Perek, we discussed the Shlichus LeKabbalah. For a woman to accept the get is different than all other shlichus in the rest of the Torah. Because most shlichus in the Torah entails refers to a situation where I have power over here, over this transaction, over what's taking place. So since I'm in charge of acquiring this property, since I'm in charge of my kiddushin, since I'm in charge of the giving the get, I can appoint the shliach as a power of attorney. The woman, though, has no power by the get. It can be given by karcha. That's why we needed a separate pasuk, if you remember, from Imam Aleph, one for the shliach of the Baal, one for the shliach of the Isha. Why do we need two psukim that he can appoint the shliach and that she can appoint the shliach? So Tais Sarosh said, because she has no power of attorney here. She has no power in this transaction. How could she appoint the shliach? And we said that was the examiner's akasiv, that nonetheless, v'shilcha, she could appoint the shliach and it's like an extension of her. That's why we had that the Rambam said you need Edom to appoint that shliach. Even though the husband doesn't need Edom to appoint his shliach, the wife needs Edom to appoint her shliach. It's a new parasha of shlichus. So the Rebbe Gash said, here, it has to be someone who is a b'tayra, is given the kiddushin, as opposed to the husband could even appoint an eved as his shliach. Power of attorney could even be an eved. Where the woman has to appoint someone who herself is, or himself is b'tayra's getting the kiddushin, because it's like an extension of her. So if that's the case, so perhaps we can argue, even though in general shliach nase aid, that's because the shliach is not like the mishaleach himself, like the Or Sameach told us. It's not like mishaleach himself. The shliach is an extension of me. He's not me. He doesn't take all autonomous powers as the mekadesh, as the megarish. He's just my representative, my power of attorney. But by shlichus lekabbalah, by definition, her whole power, the whole shlichus is only if the shlich is an extension of the wife. Because otherwise she has no power of attorney to transfer to anybody. She's not in control of this transaction. So since the shlich becomes an extension of her, one could argue in that situation, even though in general shlich nasaid, maybe here not. Maybe here not. As we already explained, shlichus of Kabbalah is somewhat of a different shlichus. Anyway, so that's how the Or Sameach learns. The Or Sameach learns, we have a machlekes over here about lamdus machlekes. How do we view shlichus? Is it, I'm just passing off, representation, but you're really just my representative? In which case, you're a third party for all intents and purposes. Or no, and you could be an aide. Or no, I'm actually making you the megarish, the mekadesh, in my place. You have some sense of autonomy, and therefore, you're also the baal davar. You're the one who's giving the kiddush, and you can't turn around later and be the aide. The problem with the pshat of Dor Sameach is when you do this, when you take a machlekes rishonim and you make it a machlekes in the Gemara, then we really don't know how anybody could disagree, because we paskin shliach nase eid. So what does that mean? That means that we paskin the shlichus is not an extension of me. Shlichus, not that I'm giving you autonomous power. All you are is my representative. So how then can the Rambam say that if the husband is neshtate, he becomes a shaita, that the shliach is still good? Because the shliach is like the mekadesh, is like the megarish. How could that be? But the shliach could turn around later and be an aid. Last week's parasha is a machlekes. The pasuk says that B'tzalel asas kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. B'tzalel did everything that Moshe, Kadosh Baruch Hu, commanded Moshe. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he did everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe, but not that Moshe told him. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas, the first time the Parshas of Mishkan is mentioned, to first build the Mishkan, then the Kelim. When Moshe Rabbeinu commanded Bezalel, he told him first the Kelim, then the Mishkan. First the Kelim, then the Mishkan. So Bezalel said back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi goes in the Medrash, that that's not Midas Derech Eretz. Nobody does that. Who builds the furniture, then the house? First you build the house, then the furniture. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're right, that's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu had told me. And Bezalel Kel Hayisa, that's why he called him Bezalel. You're in the shadow, you're mimicking the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam told me first the house, then the Kelim. I told you first the Kelim, then the house. And he argues, how can you do that? How can you build furniture without a house? So the some Achrenim, the Rugged Shover has this, others, claim that this Machlek is Moshe Rabbeinu, and Bezalel is a Machlek is Beisham and Beis Hillel in the Gemara Masechtas Chagiga, about which was created first, Shamayim or Aretz, the heavens or the land. In the time of Sheshes and Breishes, because opinion Beis Shammai is that first Shamayim was created, because Breishes Bara Lekim as Hashamayim v'as Haaretz. First Shamayim, then Aretz. Meaning that first you create the Tachlis. What's the Tachlis of this world? To get a Chelek in Olam Haba. So first you start with the Tachlis, then the means of getting there. Then you create the Aretz. You can only get to Olam Haba. You first go to Olam Hazeh. So too, Moshe Rabbeinu felt like Beis Shammai. Moshe Rabbeinu felt, you start with the tachlis. What's the tachlis of the Mishkan? The Kelim, serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything else, the Mishkan itself, the edifice, was only for the purpose of the Kelim. So first you start with the Shamayim. First you start with the Kelim, then the Mishkan. And Beis Hillel disagreed. Beis Hillel said, no, the Pasuk also says in Parashas Bereishis, B'yom Asayis Elikim, Eretz V'Shamayim. In the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the land, then Shamayim. First the Eretz, then Shamayim. So Beis Hillel say, first he created the land, then he created the heavens. Why? First you start with the means of getting there. Then you get to the tachlis. First you go in the way things progress. You start here, you end up in Shamayim. So, so too, says the Rav Shav, that was Bezalel's argument. First you start with the Mishkan, then you get to the Kelim. What's the problem with this? We paskin like who? Like Beis Hillel. Therefore we paskin like Bezalel. Therefore that's why Bezalel first made the Mishkan, then the Kelim. So there was a sefer that printed this called Amudei Shmuel. It was the same Dvar Torah, it's found in many Achrenim. Linking this machlekes is Meshav Bezalel with Beis Shalom Beis Hillel. So he went to Reb Chaim for Haskamah to his sefer called Amudei Shmuel on Chumash. So Reb Chaim said, you know, he's a very nice sefer, but he said, this piece that you have here, apikorsis, you can't have it in the sefer. I said, I'll only give you Haskamah if you take it out. So the author agreed to take it out if he could get to the printer in time. So he writes in the Hakdamah to the sefer, he tried to get to Warsaw in time to stop the printing before take this Dvar Torah out. He wasn't able to get there in time. So what did he do? He printed the Haskamah from Reb Chaim. And on the bottom, he printed what Reb Chaim said, that this Dvar Torah, then the Sefer on Parshas Vayakel, is apikorsis. Reb Chaim said, you can't say this. Why? Because you can't disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Maya said, it's very nice to make a machlekes between Moshe and Bezalel, to be a machlekes Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel. They cannot be Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel arguing about a machlekes Moshe and Bezalel. You can't do this. The Lushitasas are too much. So too over here, it's very interesting, the argument of the Aris Tameach, but the Maya is we get caught. Because we paskin Shliach Nasa Eid. So how could the machlekes in the Gemara be here the same machlekes as the Rambam and the Tur about the nature of shlichus? When we pass in shliach nasa, the whole thing is very, very confusing. It's a little bit too much. But if you look at the Avne Miluim has a different take on this machlekes whether shliach nasa eid or ain't shliach nasa eid. And he explains that it's really a machlekes about what is the nature of the psul of being a baldavar. See here, though, let's assume ein shliach naseid. I'm sorry, shliach naseid. The shliach can become an aid. Why can the shliach be an aid? Lamaisa, he's the one who's causing the kiddushin. I mean, he's the one who's bringing about the kiddushin. Isn't he a bal davar? He's the one. It's like the husband turning around and being his own aid kiddushin at his own marriage. How could you have such a thing? So Avnei Miluim claims, for 1 minute, does he have anything to gain? No. See, when a husband is at his own wedding, he has something to gain here. He wants to get married. He wants his kiddushin to be valid. So since you have something to gain, you can't now turn around and be your own aid kiddushin. You're no geya. But if you have nothing to gain, even if you are the baldavar, even if you are a party over here to what's going on, you're either the makadesh or the magaresh, but you have nothing to gain here. It's not your wife. It's not going to be your wife. It's not your wife is getting divorced. It's not your wife is getting married. So since you have nothing to gain, so the Avnei Miluim suggests the machlekes here is about a baldavar, a person who's involved, one of the parties in a transaction, but he has nothing to gain. It's very rare. How often do you have a party in a transaction that has absolutely nothing to gain? Think about it. You always have what to gain. That's usually what it means to be a party in a transaction. But what about, in the rare instance, you're a party in a transaction, but you have nothing to gain. You're not nogea. That's the machlekes, whether shliach naseid or not shliach naseid. Not a fundamental machlekes about the nature of shlichus. That's too much. It's too far-reaching. It's a machlekes about this smaller issue, where you have a baldavar, a party in a transaction. You're a party in the transaction from here, but you have nothing to gain.
So that's only kiddushin.
So the Avnei Miluim claims there's another instance where you see this this machlekes, and you know, this issue comes up, and he claims that that's a machlekes discussion of kiddushin of Ayin Gimel Mibayz. Rabbi, so if you turn to kiddushin Ayin Gimel Mibayz at the bottom of the Yomud, the Gemara discusses a person who sold something to somebody else, and he already got the money, and now machlekes breaks out. Who did he sell it to? This one or that one? Did he sell it to this guy or to that guy? So the Gemara says, Neman, three lines on the bottom, Neman, bal mekach loy malaze macharti. He's believed to say, I sold it to this one, but laze loy macharti, or ain macharti. I didn't sell it to this one. How is he believed? He's a baldavar over here. Asked the Avnei Miluim, how could it be he's believed? How could it be he's believed? He's a party in this transaction. How could be he believed? The answer is, he has nothing to gain. What does he have to gain? To say, I sold it to this one over to that one? What do I care who I sold it to? I could have sold it to you. I could have sold it to you. I don't care. Either way, I got my money already. If I got my money already, what do I care if I sold it to this one or to that one? So Avnei Miluim claims that's another instance like this. You have a party to a transaction, but he has nothing to gain by it. So is a person who's a party to a transaction pasul liedus because he simply is a party to a transaction? Anybody who's a party in the transaction is just pasul, a baldavar is pasul. Or maybe he's only possible because he has what to gain. And if you have nothing to gain, you're kosher. And that's the machlekes in our Gemara. Shliach Naseid ain't Shliach Naseid. And we paskin Shliach Naseid. The only reason about Dover is possible because he has what to gain. Here he has nothing to gain. Yeah.
What about the intangible gains? Like, for example, when I'm your age, I benefit that maybe our relationship improves, slash the relationship between the seller and the buyer improves when he decides this person was the one who bought it.
What do you mean? I'm building future relationships here?
Yeah, that's certainly a gain.
Yeah, I guess then you would be possibly a this, maybe. Here the assumption is you have nothing to gain. What do I care if I say sold it to this one, sold it to that one?
So I'm saying, wouldn't that counter the Avnei Melun's point? Because since...
It's not always the case. We're at a bodega in the airport. And two guys say, I just paid you for that, so, you know, I bought the soda. Who bought it? I'm not building relationships here on Wall Street. Over here, I'm selling soda cans, you know? So what do I care who I sold it to? So then he still believes. If I have the soda can in my hand, he's believed to say I sold it to you and not to you. So it must be you're believed, even though you're party to the transaction, since you're not Nogea. That's how the Avnei Melun interprets this machlokes. Somewhat differently than the Or Sameach. Perhaps less ambitious. But moving on in the Gemara, Rabbi Yisai. So that's machlekes, shliach naseid, ain't shliach naseid. Maybe it's a fundamental machlekes about the nature of shlichus, or maybe it's also fundamental machlekes about why is the Baal Davar pasul yedus. Is he pasul yedus because he's simply a party to the transaction, or because he has what to gain? And since here he has nothing to gain, maybe he could be kashul yedus, even though the shliach is a party to the transaction, or maybe he should be pasul yedus since he's a party to the transaction, even though he has nothing to gain. And we paskin, he's only pasul because he has something to gain, and that's linked with that Gemara over there later on, in Kiddushin Dafayin Gimel and Beis. The Rashba writes over here on our Gemara, again, Rabbi said, if you remember, discussion of the Gemara said, why should the shliach be no good as an aid? Why should the one party hold, one person hold, the Beir Rav Shila holds, ain't shliach nase aid? So the Gemara said, my time in the Beir Rav Shila, in the second line of the Gemara, Ile mishum deloy amale havli aid? Is it because he didn't say, you should be my aid? El meyata kidesh isha bifnei shnai velo amale hama temei dai hachinami do havi kiddushi? What? If you didn't appoint him as an aid, it's no good for kiddushi? The Gemara says, that can't be. So it can't be the reason ain't shliach nase aid is because you didn't appoint him as an aid. You don't have to appoint aid to kiddushin. You don't have to appoint aid to kiddushin. They don't have to be appointed. Rather, the reason why ain't shliach nase aid is either because he's the Baal Davar, or because he's the Baal Davar and he's possible even though he's not nogeh be'edus, or some told us alam d'shem achleik is about shlichus. He's possible because he's like the Baal Davar himself. However, you interpreted that discussion in the Gemara. But the Gemara said he cannot be possibly Eidos. It can't be the Shliach is no good as an aid because you didn't appoint him. You don't have to appoint Eidei Kiddushin. However, the Rashba writes over here in this Gemara, over here, Oiz Dalin, there do have to be witnesses there that they see. V'davka b'shekidja b'fnei shnayim shehem eslam. Even though you don't have to appoint them as witnesses, they have to see that there are witnesses there. If, let's say, there are witnesses hiding behind a wall, or, you know, around the corner, and they don't know that you're there, that's no good for an aid kiddushin. They have to know that you're there. They don't have to appoint you, but they have to know that you're there. If there are witnesses hiding behind the wall, loy, that's no good. Why not? Why can't, yeah, what do you want to say?
Wouldn't that mean that at like a wedding that everyone there is technically an aid kiddushin?
Yeah.
So when that comes to a problem,
it sounds
like
possibly. We'll get there, right? Okay, it's the next comment to the Ritva. Okay, we'll get there. Let's start with a smaller crowd. We have just the Chasin Kala, and there are witnesses hiding behind the wall. That's no good. You don't have to appoint witnesses, but you have to know there are witnesses. The behind maybe if she had known there were witnesses there, she wouldn't have accepted Kiddushin. Everybody knows Kiddushin is no good if there are no witnesses. That's the Gemara later on in the Daf Samech Hei. If there are no witnesses, the Kiddushin is no good. But let's say there are witnesses. So our Gemara says, you don't have to appoint them as witnesses. I don't have to say, you are my witnesses. Either you're witnesses or you're not. If you see it, the Kiddushin is good. If there are no witnesses, the Kiddushin is no good. But says the Rashba, an additional element. Not only do there have to be witnesses there, the Chasin Kala have to know that there are witnesses there. Why do they have to know that they're witnesses? They're after hiding behind the wall. They're unaware of them. That's no good. So the Rashba says, because otherwise the wife could say, I didn't really, you know, the guy proposed. What am I supposed to do? You know, the awkward moment. So she figured, she's a lamdonis. She knows that the kiddush is no good if there's no witnesses there. She'll get out of this awkward moment, and later on she'll say, L'hoyed var me'alam. Never met you before. But lo and behold, the witness is hiding behind the wall. So she can say, I knew that the kiddush is no good because there are no witnesses, and I only was doing it l'tzachek boy, to give him, you know, give him a hard time. It's a practical joke, or whatever. To get out of the awkward moment. So the Rashba says, if you don't know that, she doesn't know that there are witnesses there, she could always say, I never meant it. What if later on, though, what do you say about the following situation? She didn't know there were witnesses there, and lo and behold, there were. Now she says, yeah, I meant it. She didn't know. She's not a lamdonis. She didn't know you need witnesses there. She thought this is so romantic. We're over here secluded, and then boom, lo and behold, there are witnesses behind the wall. So from the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like it doesn't matter what she had in mind. Tzarech she'yira mekadesh v'tzkadesh v'tzeh edim. Let's say we see the chasen kala from the window. Veheim royin, we see them. Ve'ein nirim loy oila, they don't see us. Ein etzricha mimenu get. Doesn't matter what she had in mind. We don't have to question her afterwards and say, did you really mean it? We don't have to ask her. We assume she didn't mean it. That's like the Rashba, but the Rashba plus. We assume she didn't mean it. The Ramah, though, has a slightly different version of this. Quote in the name of the Maharal Mipadua, V'davka sha'imim shekivnu l'schoik ba'alma. But if she says, I had a mind for kiddush, then it is good. Everyone holds you need witnesses. But let's say they didn't know there were witnesses there. So he said, that's no good, the Rashba said, because she could always say, I was joking. What if we ask her, and she says, no, I wasn't joking. So then, is the kiddush invalid, even though that she wasn't aware of it at the time? So Shulchan Aruch says, no, it's never good. She has to know that they were there. Even though she had a mind for Kedushin, it doesn't matter. We automatically assume if she didn't know there were witnesses there that she was only joking. Because who doesn't know that for Kedushin you need witnesses? And the Ramah said, no, if you ask her later on, and she meant it, as long as there were witnesses watching behind the fence, the Kedushin's good. Yeah?
How can you say that when the witnesses need to understand that the intention at the time is for Kedushin, and if they're only revealing that afterwards and they don't have any time at the time?
You're saying they have to know what the intentions of the Chasen Kala are. And how do they know that? How do they know that?
They don't. That's my point. You have to reveal it afterwards, and they're just...
They attest to the fact that he said, I ran Mekudeshli, and she accepted the ring. I mean,
right.
That's what they attest to. They can't attest to what people had in their mind. Just the assumption is, if you do it in the presence of witnesses, you have in mind Kiddushin. That's the assumption.
And we're saying that the assumption is, otherwise we don't know.
Otherwise we assume it's Schoik.
Right.
That's how the Rashba told us. So the Ramah says, no. What it means is, we don't know. Let's ask her afterwards. What did you have in mind?
Then how could the witnesses have been...
Maybe they don't have to testify to that. How can witnesses ever testify to what people have in mind? All they can testify is to what they saw. And we make assumptions based on the social context. What did they have in mind? So the Raj was saying, based on social context, if you didn't see there were witnesses there, we assume you had in mind strike. If there are witnesses there, we assume you had in mind legitimate kiddushin. And the Ramah is saying, not necessarily so. Let's ask them. This is all within the Rajba. However, the Ritva... And our Gemara says a different explanation. Everyone agrees to this halacha, for the most part, that they have to know the witnesses were there. The Meiri and our Gemara says they don't even have to know the witnesses were there. But that's rejected by Roy Varishanim. The Meiri says, as long as the witnesses are there, you don't have to appoint them, you don't even have to know that they're there. Our Roy Varishanim, and the way it appears in Shulchan Aruch, is they have to know that they're there. Question is why? The Rashba said, because otherwise she could say, I only had a mind strike. We assume she had in mind that she was joking. The Ritva says a more conceptual reason. The Ritva says, you don't have to appoint them as your witnesses. If the Edom are hiding behind the wall, that's no good. They have to know about them. Chada, for two reasons. The second one is going to be like the Rashba, but the first one is a different reason. What they're testifying about can only happen if the people know that there are witnesses there. Meaning here the witnesses are not testifying to what took place to prevent people from lying, like let's say you have by Mamonis, they're testifying that he paid back so no one should lie. That's not what's going on by Kiddushin, that they're testifying that she accepted the Kiddushin so no one could later back out. What's going on here is a different issue. This, the Edom themselves make the Kiddushin. And the way it's understood by them, the Miluim, and later Achrayim, Reb Chaim has this in a Sefer on the Rambam, is that when the Edom are there, people take more seriously their the consequences of their actions. And in order to accomplish Kiddushin, you have to have that solemnizing presence, meaning that, wow, there's a crowd around me, now I'm really taking seriously what I'm doing. You need that heightened level of awareness in order to create Kiddushin. If they don't know the witnesses are there, people do things, you know, much more carelessly or without or considering all the consequences of their actions when no one's watching. When people are watching, they're much more aware, and the level of knowledge, consideration is much higher. And in order to create Kiddushin, you need that higher level of awareness. And that's what the Ritva is saying. Without them being aware that they're being watched, there's no Kiddushin. Even if they'll say, sign a document, an affidavit, we had in mind Kiddushin, doesn't matter. Because they didn't have the heightened level of awareness of knowing you're being watched. That's what creates Kiddushin. Yeah.
Didn't you say that Rabbi Thadia said that a chuppah shnita, you actually could, or you can touch during a chuppah because it's not there people because of the environment?
People watching, same
so
idea.
You think if
it's a somewhat different issue, but yeah.
If there were no Eden, do you think theoretically he would say that? It's not
you're worrying about when there are no Edom and it's a chuppah shnita, so then they're over at Ifud anyway. Yeah. Anyway, they have to know about the witnesses. The Meiri says in Agamar they don't have to know about the witnesses, but most Rishayim accept that that's a minority position. Most hold they have to know about the witnesses. They don't have to say, you are my witnesses, but they have to know that there are witnesses there. Without witnesses, Kiddushin is nothing. Nobody says otherwise. You need witnesses for Kiddushin. Question is, what if they don't know that there are witnesses? The Meiri says, even if you don't know the witnesses, it's all good. The Rabbi Rishonim say, no, they have to know their witnesses. The question is, why? The Rajma says, otherwise you could have in mind, we could say, she had a mind for Schaik. Machlek is detailed. Machlek, between the Shulchan and the Ramah. Can we just ask her afterwards? Or we automatically assume you had in mind Schaik? You know, just to get out of the awkward moment if there are no witnesses there, if you don't know there are witnesses there. The Ritva says a different reason you have to know that there are witnesses there. Not because we automatically assume if you don't know that there are witnesses there, that you have a mind strike, and have a mind that legitimate Kiddushin, is because without the idea of being watched, you know, that awareness, you haven't reached the heightened level of Das, of recognition of the consequences of your actions in order to create Kiddushin. Kiddushin requires that heightened awareness or sensitivity to the consequences of your actions, and that can only be created when you're being watched. So certainly, then, if there were no, they didn't know there were witnesses there. Even if you ask her later on, it won't be good. Yeah.
But having witnesses there, even if the witnesses don't have the intention of being witnesses, you would still say that it creates the item level of das.
Yes.
Why did we bring a shuva by our Moshe saying like the camp?
We'll get to it. Oh, about the Kiddushin Ketana.
Yeah. The kids are getting married.
If everybody knows it's a joke when it's going on, why would you assume here two consenting adults? We watch over here a kiddushin taking place. You know, while you guys with some, you know, bear costume or something over here, right in the alley, getting engaged. Why would you assume he means it's a joke? I mean, he probably thought it's cute.
Right.
Private. Who knows? So we would assume he means. So if there are no witnesses there, the Rajma says he for sure means for schaik. Well, everyone who knows anything about halacha knows you need witnesses there. Why would you get married in private if you didn't meet for a joke? And the Ritva says no, for a different reason. The reason you need to know the witnesses there, otherwise you not have this heightened sense of awareness. However, there perhaps is a reason, even though Agamar says again, you don't need to appoint them as witnesses, they have to know that there are witnesses there. If you don't have to appoint them as witnesses, the Rishonim claim perhaps there is a reason to appoint witnesses as Eide Kiddushin. Here we're discussing, you have four people. Chatan Kala, two Kasher witnesses. But the problem is, in our context of getting married, we have many, many more people there. We have chasen kala, you know, mother, father, you know, mother-in-law, father-in-law, babi zedi, you have brothers and sisters, you have ganovim, you have other members, we have the whole, demographics represented over here. So at our wedding, perhaps there is a reason, this is not the abstract, you know, local case that's being discussed by the Gemara, where you have two witnesses and chasen kala. we're discussing a situation where there are many people there. Some are psulim le'edis and some are kosher le'edis. So the Gemara says in Masechtas Makis, you might remember if you were here for Sanhedrin, that the Gemara says in Masechtas Makis, commenting on the pasuk, al pishnayim edim or shleisha edim yumas hameis. Either through two witnesses or three witnesses, you can put somebody to death. So frak the Gemara, miskayemes ha'edis b'shnayim, lama parat ha'kosa b'shleisha. If the Torah says it's enough with two, why does it bother saying three? It's obvious. So it's to tell us, no, mashnayim, nim se'echmeim karvo pasal yidusim b'teila. If you have the minimal number of edim, so if one of them is found out to be a karvo or a pasal, he's pasal yidus or he's a relative, certainly you have no edus, you only have one now, one is no good to put somebody to death. You need two. So av shlesh, so two, three. If one is found to be a karvo pasal, the entire group is pasal. So since over here by the wedding, you have someone who's a karov, we have a psulim, we have the whole story over here. So everybody now is pasul, because even the kosher witnesses are caught up together with the psulei edus. So the truth of the matter is, it should not have been an issue. It's a good argument. That's if you're only learning makas daf hem beis. But when you get to vavam et aleph, you see that this is really not an issue. Because the Gemara tells us in Vavim and Aleph, the only time we say Nimsa Echemem Karvu Pasul is if the Edom have intention to testify. If the Edom just have intention to watch, and they never have intention of coming to Beis Din, or certainly they never come to Beis Din to testify, we don't apply the rule of Nimsa Echemem Karvu Pasul. Why? Because the Gemara says in Makkos, 1 minute, every time then someone is killed in the presence of a family member, you can never put the guy to death. Why not? You have a guy killed in the presence of his brother. So two witnesses saw the murder. Two kosher witnesses saw the murder. But who else is there? The brother. So now, he passes the whole group. Nobody can testify. So the Gemara says, well, minute, kiosk made the rava, amalei, no, yokum davar. Pasuk says, apishnayim edem, or shleish edem, yokum davar. Who are we discussing when we say, nimsachem em kavru, pasul? V'mekai me davar hakosim medaber. Only those who have intention to testify, not those who are watching. So they would ask the witnesses before, did you have intention to watch, or did you have intention to testify? And only those who had intention to testify would passel the entire group. So as long as the brother didn't have intention to testify, it would be fine, we could convict the murderer with the two kosher witnesses. They weren't part of the issue. So at our weddings, for the most part, everyone only has intention to watch. Most people don't have intention to testify. So we still should not apply the rule of nimsach ameyam karvo passel. Yeah.
The intention to watch versus testify happens before the testimony or before the act?
While it's happening, what do you have in mind? Well, or maybe do you actually have to come to Beis Din to testify?
It's presumed that, like,
that he doesn't have intention. The Gemara says, we ask him, Aminaluhu, the Merci Asisu, Allah Sudi Asisu, why'd you come? To watch or to testify? I came to see. Nonetheless, right? Okay, so our boys say our weddings we thought were a big problem. How could anybody be kosher le'edus? We have Krovim and Psulim there. So even though the Ayah Gemara says you don't have to appoint Eidei Kiddushin act when it's just two witnesses, Chas and Kala. What about now? We have all the Krovim and Psulim there. We should have to appoint witnesses and say, no problem. Why not? No one has intention to testify. Everyone only has intention to watch. So the Ritva here comes up with a fantastic svara. Then no, you have to appoint witnesses. Why? Writes the Ritva, Miu, kol heikah sheyesh ba'oitz ha'mamik sheyem u'psulim ha'krevim, tzorech li'yachin eidi kiddushin, even though our Gemara says you don't, you do, if there are krevim u'psulim there. Diloi, kevan de'ika eid pasul b'neim, eidus kulim b'teila. Otherwise, the entire eidus is batel. Even though everyone's going to say we only came to watch at the wedding. Most people don't come to testify. It's a pain enough we have to go there to watch, right? No one's going to go to testify. That is only true, said the Ritva. Bedine mamanis. Ubedine nefashis. She'ein ha'edus miskayemes ha'chabon le'Beis Din. When are you an aid for Nizh Nefashos? When are you an aid for Mominus? When you actually come to Beis Din to testify. But guess what? By Kiddushin, that the Kiddushin is not valid unless you have two people watching. You're already an aid just by watching. Because by watching it, you establish the Kiddushin. Aval hakabe kiddushin ein edus ba le'emes hadaber bavad. You're not just coming to determine what the facts are of the case. Even we would know you got married. Everyone would sign affidavits. We had a mind kiddushin. Doesn't matter. You need witnesses. You need witnesses there. Says the Ritva, since you need witnesses there to watch, shas masa hu shas edusan. That's like coming to testify. So the wedding itself is like testifying in Beis Din, because that establishes the kiddushin. Mominous nefashas are only established when you come to Beis Din. When is it called testifying by a wedding? Simply by watching. So Ritva says, therefore, you have to appoint Eidei Kiddushin by a wedding. Otherwise, everyone's one group, and then you say, Nimseachim Karvo Pasu, Eidus Kulum Betela. So Ritva says, that's why you have to appoint witnesses at a wedding. That's the common practice. But really not because of the Ritva. The Ritva says, if you look at the last line, so compelling svar, excellent. Not that he needs my askama, but about Ein Zedatim Mefarshim V'Royal HaHachmer. Says, most disagree with me, but it's kedai to be machmer. Who are the most who disagree with him? That's Tosis and the Rosh and Masechtas Makis. The Rosh and Masechtas Makis writes, asks the same question. Heiki Timsa Kiddushin V'Gitin K'sherim Shanasim B'Pumbi. Our weddings are done in such fanfare. There's Krovim and Psulim there. V'gam Aliba de Rebbe im Kivnu Lohayid. Okay. Hilkach Nira Lefarish. The V'fiyo Maskele Dabar Rav V'kai Mei Dabar Dibar HaKosuv. Ein Krovim and Psulim Avatlan HaEidus. And Im Kein Bo Ve'idu Be'Bezin Im Al-Kherim Dalo Mikri Eidus. El Oysen Shabon Lekai Mei Dabar V'nei Be'Zin. So the Rosh doesn't go for the Svar of the Ritva. The Ritva said, when did you only apply Nim Zachim and Kavu Pasuv? Everyone comes to testify in Beis Din, whatever they mind to testify is by Mominis, by Nefashis, because those only happen in Beis Din. Kiddush is happening in the wedding hall. This is like Beis Din. This is like you're testifying now. We apply current Nim Zachim and Kavu Pasuv. One is Pasuv, the whole group is Psulim. The Rosh says, same is true by Kiddushin. It's only if they actually come to testify in Beis Din. And since most people in the audience don't have in mind to testify, we do not apply Nim Tzachim Em Karvo Pasul by a wedding, you really should not have to appoint witnesses at all. Yeah.
Is it worth that risk that someone whose Pasul has in mind, like...
No, you shouldn't have to appoint witnesses. So, you really make right then should not. We do appoint witnesses to be machmer for this Ritva. The Ksais HaChayshin recommends also appointing witnesses for another reason. He says, because most people are not paying attention to what's going on at the wedding. And this is before cell phone. Most people are not paying attention, he says. And the only people who are paying attention are puzzle. The parents, the people standing right there are all puzzle. Everyone else not paying attention. So it's kedai says to appoint two people to stand and to watch who are paying attention. Another reason to do it. But the Rosh writes over here, the Eroi, when you're appointing witnesses, how do you do it? In order to separate them from the rest of the group. So the Rosh says, you don't have to do it by Kiddushin. We have the practice of doing it. The Ritva says, you have to do it. Otherwise, Ninzachim and Karpal Pasul, the Ksais recommended to do it. Just you should have Kavanah for the Kiddushin. But how do you have to do it? So if you look at the last line of the Rosh, he writes in Makkos, Hamaz min Seidav, a person who appoints witnesses. How does that help, Rabbi Yisrael? How does it help when I appoint witnesses? To solve the problem of Nimsach Mem Karvo Pasul. If you assume like the Ritva, according to the Ksais, they're really just, you know, please pay attention to what's going on, no one else is paying attention. Okay. But according to the Ritva, that there's a problem of Nimsach Mem Karvo Pasul, how does it help the fact that I set aside these two from everybody else? So I could have understood that. What I mean to do is just artificially splice up the crowd. You're one group, you're another group. And therefore, we don't apply Nimsachim Em Karvo Pasul. But what makes this the group and this not the group, you know? So the Rosh writes over here, when you do this, he's discussing by Edom who are going to come and testify. He doesn't think you have to do this at a wedding, but according to those, you know, we who do it at a wedding, how does it work? What's the mechanism of appointing two, separating them from the rest? So he writes, Hamaz min es Eda v'hoitzi es kol acherim mechlal ha'edus. What do? You set aside two and you exclude everybody else. Do you have to say, I exclude everybody else? What does he mean here? Hamaz min es Eidav, v'haytzi es kol acherim. I would have said, just, you know, normal reading of the Rosh, what it means is, when you set aside two, what you're implying is, I'm excluding everybody else, since this is my transaction, I have the right to appoint two witnesses by murder. I can't say you two are included, you two are out, and then I go and kill somebody. You can't do that. I can't postulate you for aiders, but this is my transaction. So perhaps I have the right to say you two are witnesses, not you people. And that's not the psulim. So I imply you two are witnesses, not the psulim. But do I have to say to the exclusion of all others? I don't think that's the push-up shot in the rush. But Reb Chaim read the rush to what he had, that what you have to do here, say you two are witnesses, and you aren't. That's how he read the rush. Hamaz minas Eidov, v'hoitzi atacherim. You have to exclude everybody else. Others assume when you appoint two, everyone else is automatically excluded. The danger of saying to the exclusion of all others is that, let's say, what happens if these two Eidim are no good? You know, they come, the feds like to make a big scene. So the feds come to the wedding, and they arrest the two witnesses at the wedding. Now what happens to this poor couple who got married with these two witnesses? We thought they were such a kush of a yusha. And then it turns out that they're arrested for gneva. So now who's going to be a witness by the wedding? If I apostled all everybody else, I said to the exclusion of all others, I have no edim of my kedushin. So that's why it's dangerous a little bit to say to the exclusion of all others. I would prefer you just appoint these two as your witnesses. You can be machmer for the ritva, have your chumrah. I'm not going to deny anybody their chumrah. Say, appoint these two as witnesses. And you only have in mind to exclude psulim, for the relatives. You don't have in mind to say, if you exclude everybody else who's here, say the exclusion of all others, then what do you do if these two are psulim? You might run into a problem. So I think it's more, cautious to say, you two are the witnesses. And if you want to say exclusion of all psulim, you wouldn't want to say to the exclusion of all others. Lamaisa, if this ever happens, so Moshe quotes in the name of some sefer, where you didn't say to the exclusion of all others, that if the Edom are found out to be psulim, that even the people in the back, as long as the Masada Kiddushin is a Rav Muvok, is knows what he's doing, even the people in the back of the room can testify that they saw a wedding going on, the Rav who was Masada Kiddushin knows what he's doing, he's a respectable, competent rabbi, and we could assume a wedding took place, and they could serve as their Eidim B'dievet. So if this ever happens that you realize after a wedding, the Eidim were no good, the wedding is probably still good, because the people in the back of the room can testify, if the Rav is an Orthodox rabbi. But we should try and avoid that kind of situation. Okay, Shkaya.